You are listening to CPA Review, and more you are listening to CPA Review, and more you are listening to CPA Review, and more you are listening to CPA Review, and more.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you're joining from. And thank you for listening to this episode of CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager. I'm your producer and director here at the Yeager Studios, Rob Medford, and together we are bringing you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you're new to the show, I'd like to be the first to thank you for checking us out. We're excited to have you as part of our listenership. If you're here because you've already heard our show and you're a continued listener, we thank you for the ongoing support. It's always greatly appreciated. If you're in the market for a CPA review course or simply want to know more about what Yeager CPA Review has to offer, check out our website at yeagercpareview.com or call our office and we'll answer any questions you might have. The link and telephone number will be in the description of this episode. Here at Team Yeager, we're excited to tell you about our new Yeager CPA Review subscription format. It's the same great Yeager CPA Review course that you know and love on an all-new month-to-month, no long-term commitment subscription format. But without any further delay, I'm going to pass the microphone on over to your host, Billy Yeager.
Well, thank you, Rob. Our guest today is Jose Zavala. Did I pronounce that correctly, Jose?
Yes.
Very good.
Yes, yeah. You did.
Jose, we're actually having this podcast today because, correct me if I'm wrong, you do actually tax returns, but you do them for clients that are at what, remote? Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. My firm is 100% remote.
All right. And we'll talk about that in a little while, okay?
Okay.
Now, you have not taken the CPA exam. Is that correct?
Yes, I have. I've taken it several times. I haven't passed it.
Okay.
That's the difference. No, I've taken it a few times. So.
Okay. Well.
But now that you have the Yeager course.
So yes, I have the Yeager course. And now I've been actually, funny story, I was actually just on vacation. And the few times I've got decent internet out there, I was able to kind of run a couple through. So I completely switched up everything going to you guys. I'm going to see if maybe this should be kind of, you know, change things up a little bit to see if I can maybe, you know, mix it up and actually.
And which part are you studying for? Which part are you studying? Good, good. And the guy who does it is excellent. All right. Let me see. Who does that? I think I do that, right? Jose?
Yes.
Thank you. It took you a second, Jose, to think about it. All right. So anyway, Jose, by the way, he's going to pass this time because he's taking an excellent review course. So, Jose, what's it like running a tax practice and not having your CPA? Does that cause any problem to you?
Yes. To be honest with you, yes, it does. One of the first questions people always ask me is, are you a CPA? And I'm just like, no, I'm a candidate. Well, and then, you know, the first question is, well, what does that mean? It's like, well, I'm eligible. I have the education. I have the background. I have everything. I just haven't passed the exams yet. I'm testing right now. And then I kind of, it's either, okay, that's great. Or, okay. And then at that point, I find myself having to sell myself twice as hard to somebody, just let them know, to reassure them that, hey, I have the background. I come from about 8 years working at public CPA firms. You know, I have the experience and the knowledge. It's just a matter of, I'm not a very good test taker. So.
Well, maybe you know, I don't mean to say this, but, well, I will say it. Maybe you use the wrong materials. Did you ever think about that?
And that's why I made the switch. When I saw you guys actually did the monthly plan, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try and go with it. And so that's why I was like, okay, I'm going to try to do it, because the material I had beforehand was good material. A lot of my coworkers, a lot of my colleagues used it to pass it. Just for me, it just wasn't working. You know, I think the closest I got was 74 twice, and that was gut wrenching. And so, but at the same time, it's taken me, and this is a little bit embarrassing, but it's the reality of it. It's taken me about a good 10 years to realize that the CPA exam is not a college exam. You can't just fake your way through it or you know.
Wing it. We use the word
wing it. Wing perfect. It. That's the perfect. Yeah, you can't wing it. You actually have to dedicate everything to it. And that's something that it just I would start off and then I'd burn out and, oh, well, I can handle. No. It's taken me a bit to, and now that I'm on my own, and I, like I said, you know, I've come across a couple hurt. I lost out on some great clients that I feel like I could have helped them out tremendously because I didn't have that certification.
Now, how many clients do you have, if I may ask?
So overall, I think I'm up to about, let me see, full service. We do bookkeeping and taxes, tax planning, all that for it. I believe we have about 30. And then tax clients, I have about an extra 20, just tax clients.
So like 50 for tax clients? 50.
Yeah, 50.
Predominantly what? Individuals, business returns? What are they?
Mainly business. I don't really do much individual. There's a few individuals I do, but I like to stick to just business returns, and I like to do full service. So the bookkeeping, the tax planning, the management reports, you know, the advisory. I like to bundle all that together. I don't really, just personally, I don't really go after individuals tax returns. Not that I can't do them. I can. It's what I did for the majority of my career. It's just I prefer to kind of work with the business owner from beginning to end with everything because I just feel like I provide a lot more value to them doing that way than just giving them a tax return and just saying, here, you owe this much and I'll see you next year.
How many years you've been doing this type of work? You went to work for some CPA firms, you said?
When
you
yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
But how many years you've been on your own?
On my own, I'm coming up on 2 years.
Oh, that's
working with the other firms here locally in Houston, Texas. I would say I've got about 10 years working with them.
But your practice itself, you're saying it's been 2 years?
2 years, yes.
Okay, and that's a good number of clients to pick up in 2 years.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, it's been, you know, I've been able to a big thing for me that I've noticed that has helped out a lot is the tax planning. You know, that's why I like to go after these small business owners, the ones that are right above the threshold of where they can afford to maybe do an S election or, you know, look at different things and where they have enough money to where they're paying too much in tax and they can afford a little bit, maybe, you know, the bookkeeping and the tax planning. That way we can sit down and actually look at, okay, what are you guys doing? Where are y'all at? And where do you need to be? And how do we get there? Kind of thing. And so that's been my approach, which has been so far has worked.
Now, if you had the CPA now, how many more clients do you think you would have?
Oh, I.
That's a tough question. That might be a tough question.
No. I, you know, I kind of keep track of it. I'd say about another, I lost out for sure on 5 big ones. Okay. Where there's significant clients that I the proposal and did everything. And then last minute, they're just like, well, you know, we don't feel comfortable you not being a CPA. And I was like, okay, I understand, you know, but overall, I'd say probably about 5 big ones and then about 10 just kind of, you know, small to medium sized ones that
how much would that have been in revenue that you lost?
Approximately, to be honest with you, I'd say about an extra $10,000 a month.
$10,000 a month. That's substantial.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the reason. I mean, I say to everyone who's taking the exam, you have to have a reason for doing it. Mm-hmm. And your reason is obviously so that you can build up your practice even faster and make more money each year. Correct?
Yep. Yes, 100%. And you know, it's one of those, and I know a lot of those people that are kind of out there, you know, I know a couple of colleagues that have taking their time, you know, with the exam and everything. For me, at least, it's a monkey on my back. It's kind of the last thing I feel like I have to do to get my career where I want it to be, you know, to get to that point, because it's like everybody, hey, how you going with the exam? Hey, how's the exam coming? And it's always a question that always gets asked, no matter if, you know, it's been 5-10 years since then, people are still asking, hey, how's the exam going? It's just one of those like, I'm still going. So for me, it's more of a personal goal that I want to do it. And, you know, now that I'm on my own, it makes a huge difference. I really realize, okay, I do need it because, again, I'm having to now compete. Without the exam, I now compete with unlicensed people, which there are a lot of unlicensed people that are very educated and very smart and do very good jobs. But then there are also those that maybe charge $50 for, you know, an 1120S return or $100 for corporate good. Tax.
It's very know. Hard to compete with. Yeah, very
yeah. And so they say, well, why do I go with you? Why can't I go with them? And then they're, you know, again, then I had to sell myself extra to just like, well, look, I have the experience and I have this, but you know, and I lost out a couple of times, and I've even had clients that have left and then come back and they're like, well, actually this other person I went to didn't work out. So let's give you a shot. And it's fine. But you know, I should have, it kind of sucks because I could have closed the deal right then and there if I had the exam. You know, and that's something that I've realized tremendously here in the last probably year for sure.
Now, if you were certified versus not being certified, all right, how much more could you charge? Give us an example. Like, for example, how do you bill out or how do you charge for an individual return versus a business return? And also, how do you charge out for your bookkeeping services?
So I do a mix between value-based billing and fixed fees.
Explain so for, that, please. Value-based.
So value-based for me, it's all about I take a look at the project, how much value am I going to bring to them, and then I bill based on that. So let's say I have a client that is maybe needs a set of some tax returns because they have they need to get their mortgage or something, you know, and they kind of urgently. So you charge a little bit more because of the urgency. You know, for me, I'm still trying to be honest with you, I'm still trying to get the value base down. For me, it's more kind of the fixed is where I stay predominantly, where I pick a set piece that I know that I'm going to be comfortable with and, you know, my clients will be comfortable with. So I know for us, we start off with it's a monthly bookkeeping package, which is a bookkeeping support. We don't even do the books. We just make sure you do them correctly. We do an overview and we're available for any questions you have. It includes tax twice a year tax planning. So we sit down and make sure your vouchers are correct and everything. We do business tax return, individual tax return, IRS representation, and a subscription to Xero, the bookkeeping software. And all that starts at about, we start anywhere from about $400 to $500 a month. And so, and that's just a one-time, you know, every month, and that includes all that. And then for our tax returns, we do our tax returns, and then we do a 60-minute Zoom meeting where we literally go over line item by line item to make sure that every question is understood. You understand what taxes you're paying, why you're paying them, and how we can optimize maybe next year if something maybe slipped through the cracks, or if you're a first time and all I did was your tax return, but now you're signing on, then we can go through and like, well, look, this is where I can help you with here, here, and here.
Are you an enrolled agent?
No. So I started to study for that, but then I got serious about the CPA. And so one of my mentors was telling me that he's like, you know, don't waste your time on the EA. If you're really going to get the CPA,
right,
just focus your time on the CPA. He goes, that it's going to bring you a bigger value. And so
how do you represent your client before the IRS then?
So I actually have strategic partners that I work with that are either enrolled agents or CPAs. And so we have where I send it over to them and I let my clients know, I'm like, look, I can't represent you in front of the IRS, but I have strategic partners that will take care of it for you. And I introduce them whenever the time comes and let them know, hey, they have this experience and I make sure to vet them and everything. And so I have two right now that I use that in case something comes up that I need to get a hold of the IRS or something. I connect them with my client and let them kind of work, and it works out that way.
If you had the CPA, how much more do you think you'd make percentage-wise a year? Do you ever look at that?
I haven't yet. That's something I plan on looking at the end of this year to really, like I said, I've got serious about this here in the last couple months, and that's something I do want to start tracking because it is something that I feel like it makes a big difference. You know, it does make a big difference. I know one of the big things for me that I've missed, a big reason why I've missed out on some of these clients is because they need signed financial statements for banks, you know, and that's where I can't provide that. And, you know, and I tell them, hey, I have a strategic partnership. I have CPAs that I work with that can get that for you while I'm finishing up this exam. But again, that makes people sometimes a little bit uneasy and which I understand 100%. And so it's just like, okay, well, I can't provide that to you. That, and then if I'm competing, let's say, you know, I'm bidding on a job and somebody else is bidding on a job, I've been told that, you know, because I'm not certified, I kind of get not insulted, but, you know, talked bad about because, oh, well, this guy must not know anything. He's not enrolled. Don't go with him. And it's just like, okay. You know, I mean, that's not how I work.
I can understand that.
It does, you know, and I mean, for me, you know, I'm all about collaboration. I, you know, competition for me, you know, if we're competing, that's great. But for me, it's all about let's work together. You know, I don't, you know, JJ CPA is one of my, I guess, de facto mentors. I don't know if he knows that yet or not, but you know, I go to him with a lot of questions and stuff. And one of the things he told me was don't insult your other colleagues, you know, always speak highly of them. Even if they do a bad job, you know, speak highly of them, because by bringing them down, you're bringing the whole industry down. And that's just what I'm trying to avoid. But because again, I'm not certified, I do get that a lot where, hey, well, this guy must not know what he's talking about because he's not certified.
Now, if I were a client coming into your office, mm-hmm. do you immediately say I'm not a CPA, or do you wait for them to ask you?
No, I let them know right off the bat. I'm like, look, just to let you know, this is who I am. My name's Jose Zavala. I have 10 years experience. It's public CPA firms. I've been on my own now for 2 years. And I was like, just to let you know, I'm not a CPA, but I'm a CPA candidate. And what that means is that I have all the qualifications and the education for it. I'm studying and I'm trying to pass the exams right now. And then that's usually, because the last thing I want is to kind of get to that point and then, well, are you a CPA? And then no. And they're just like, oh, you know, I like to kind of get it out in the open and just be like, hey guys, this is who I am. This is what I do. And.
But in a way, by doing that, you're sort of apologizing to them for not being a CPA. I mean, my belief would be, mm-hmm. all right, people come in now. If that's important to them, they'll ask you whether you're a CPA or not. Mm-hmm. But if then it's not important, I think by you coming out and saying that, you're basically saying, well, you know, I'm not a CPA, so I might not be as good as a CPA. So then you're going to put, you know, doubts in people's minds. I mean, have you thought about that? I mean,
I haven't thought about it like that. You know, that's a really good point. I just, for me, I like to be open and honest and you know, just kind of like, this is who I am. But I've never really thought about it that way, because most of the time they tell me, oh, well, that's okay. That doesn't matter to me. I just need somebody that knows what they're doing. You know,
well, I agree. Open and honest is, I see what your point is, but you're not being dishonest.
You're right.
I really feel that, you know, no, just because you're a CPA doesn't mean you know any more than a non-CPA. But my point is, if someone came into my office and I said to them, all right, if someone came to me to prepare for the CPA exam, all right, then I very few people ask me, do you have CPAs teaching the course? No, but if I did have a non-CPA, like to teach, you know, some of the law subjects or the IT, all right, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say, oh, by the way, we have a couple of people who are not CPAs, all right? That immediately, I think, will some degree not completely turn them off, but, you know, put the thought in their mind, why is he bringing this up? All right. It must really say, I'm not really as good as a CPA. So, you know, really think about that. I mean, I'm not telling you how to run your practice, believe me.
No, I appreciate it though. You know, I never thought about it that way. I just always was just kind of like to be open and honest and be like, you know, to avoid that awkwardness. Cause I have did that where, you know, you get through the whole process and like just, okay, you know, and then they'll ask, oh, yeah, well, you're a CPA, right? And it's like, no. And, oh, you know, and then I get that. But you bring up a really good point, you know, and that's something I think I might try out. Just instead of coming being forward honest, just if they ask. Oh,
yeah. And you're not being dishonest.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they say to you, are you a CPA? And you say, no, you just say, no, I have not taken the exam yet. And I am planning on taking the exam. So that people who ask questions like you're asking, you know, I can say to them, yes, I'm a CPA. And I would even, you know, I would say, well, you know, a lot of cases, even though I'm not a CPA, I have as much knowledge as a CPA probably has with the same degree of experience that I have. I don't know. Yeah, you could say that. But
well, no, so I do preface with that. I let them know that, look, I have the experience. I let them know what my experience is. And I do let them know, you know, there have been several instances where I have actually had to fix stuff that CPAs have done, you know, because not all of them, you know, some of them just because they're, and I tell them, just because they're licensed doesn't mean that they're automatically know everything, you know, and, right. And so, I do explain to them, hey, you know, I do have the experience and the know-how. It's just the only difference between them and me is just the three letters after the name. Is this
absolutely correct? Now, tell us what intrigued me about what you do is, all right, you do tax returns, but you do it remotely. How does that work?
So what I do is we have a project management system called Teamwork that we use. And inside the project management system, there's file sharing capabilities. There's a task orient. So we can create tasks, and we get pretty task heavy with me, my staff, and we can even assign tasks to our clients. And so they can come in and actually see the percentage of what we, so let's say we're working on a tax return and we're about 50% done. They'll be able to see that it's 50% done on there. And that way there's no really like, hey, where are we at on this tax return? Hey, where are we at on this? You know, I'm trying to avoid that because it is a virtual kind of relationship. So what I had them do, I had them upload all their information through the portal into this software. We get it. You know, we bring it out, manipulate it, put it into our organizer that we do, and then create the tax return. Once we're done, we upload it back to the portal and let them know, hey, it's ready. Let's schedule a call so we can go ahead and go over it. They schedule a call, and then we do a Zoom meeting where we share a screen, and I just walk through it individually. Hey, this is where we're at. This is kind of where we're going and everything. Same thing with our tax plans. When we're planning, we do the same thing. We print out the little report from the software I use, and then just walk through, like, this is where you're at. This is where you're going to be. This is what we've estimated. And then this is the payment we think you need to make for the second or third quarter.
I would think that people sending you the information on the internet, do they ask you, they must ask you, is this secure? Will my information get out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the good thing is that system is one of my staff, Morgan, she's a stay-at-home mom, part-time, you know, works on her own schedule, works at home. He doesn't come into the office. She actually has IT security background.
Oh.
She worked at Protivity, I think, which is a big consulting firm. And so, and for about, she was a manager there. And so she decided to stay at home. And so now, you know, I was able to scoop her up somehow to help me out. And so now she kind of, I guess, handles a lot of the IT side of things and primarily the security, because that's the one thing I told her, like, I want to make sure that we're 100% secure on everything. I don't want any leaks. I want us to try to get it as tight as possible, because we are working virtually, you know, that they could be prone to a lot more, you know, hacks or anything like that. And so that's why we, you know, she set us up within Microsoft and has this, you know, has us, all our devices are enrolled, and, you know, we can, it's just, yeah, she's got this whole big thing set up. But yes, they always, that's the first question they ask, and I assure them, like, you know, it is secure uploading and downloading from what I've been told. And, you know, there really is no, it's not like just like a, where you, you know, through email or anything like that. It's, and, you know, and I tell them everything. If they try to send me something through email, I delete it. I'm just like, hey, upload it to the portal. Do not send me, you know, and I've been, and they've all been pretty good about moving everything inside the software instead of outside through email, because we all know email is not secure at all.
No, it isn't. And even faxing returns to people, not real good idea. Is this, you know, you're in the Houston, Texas, right?
Houston, Texas, yes, sir.
Where are these remote returns coming from?
Let's see. I've got Oregon, Wyoming, California, Florida. I've got a few in Florida, Washington, Colorado, and then the rest are kind of spread out throughout Texas.
You got any coming in from out of the country?
No.
Okay.
No, not yet.
How do you learn the state laws for every one of these states?
I just research. It takes me a bit. You know, I go in and I research it, you know, and usually after the first year. We've done a lot of state returns at my old firms. We had kind of multi-state, so I do have experience with some of these states. So, you know, what I don't know, I usually just do the research and just, you know, go in and figure it out. Or if I really need to, I call them. And a lot of these states, some of these states are really nice, some are not. So, and they're very helpful. And so, you know, if it's a question where I'm kind of, okay, am I sure about this? I'm not quite sure how to report this. Then, you know, I'll call them up and just be like, hey guys, this is what I have. Here's a situation. Can you send me to somebody that can give me an answer? And then usually they're pretty good about it.
You charge a flat fee for your tax returns?
Yes.
And do you charge for that research you have to do?
No. That's to me, that's it's partially built into the price, but that's more just kind of me learning, because once I build up that first year, the knowledge, then the next year is going to go a lot quicker, you know, because what we have internally is a knowledge base where anything we research, we index it and put it in there. That way it's accessible to anybody. That way next year you go in and all you do is just type in, you know, California income tax, and then you can go in and see all the research that I've done with my notes and everything, or somebody else has done research on something, you can go in there and actually see what's been going on.
Do you have any people you know in the profession who charge for research?
Yes. At my old firm, they used to charge, they would charge for the research, and it was a pretty hefty pretty hefty fee.
So do you feel you haven't been in the business long enough to really say, well, I'm going to charge for research?
I consider more just kind of, you know, I'm learning, so I'm okay with it. You know, and it kind of goes back to the whole same thing of, I just, you know, to be honest, I don't really feel comfortable charging for the research, probably because I'm, again, not certified.
You know, well, if you were a CPA right now, would you charge for research?
Yes. If I was a CPA, I'd charge for probably a lot more of the stuff that I don't charge, and my prices would go up for sure.
The CPA not having it really makes such a difference in that case on you?
For me, yes. Personally, yes. You know, other colleagues, I don't
know. Why is that? I mean, do you feel?
I don't know. It's just, I guess it's a.
You think it has to do with the fact that when people come in, you first say, "Hell, I'm not a CPA." Is that anything? Yeah, you think it? I think it really bothers you. You're not a CPA, obviously.
It does. No, I will say this. It is a huge monkey. It is the last thing that I feel like I need to get done in my career. I've done everything else I've always wanted to do. I've wanted to be a public speaker. I wanted to you know, do there are certain things I've wanted to do, and I've been able to accomplish everything. The last thing that's on my mind, on my back, that I feel like is this exam. And so, yes, it really personally bugs me tremendously not having it. And a lot of it comes to, again, you know, it may be just me personally, and this is, you know, just kind of honest and open about it. It's just maybe I don't. It's the self-confidence. I know what I'm talking about, but if I had those three letters behind me, then it would improve, doubted me.
It would improve your self-confidence, I think.
Yes, 100%. I think that's where it kind of stems a lot of it is, you know, I don't have it. And I actually had a client, a very significantly big client, who we ended up parting ways because it didn't work out. Gentleman was... It was a bad situation, but he spent his whole time kind of like, you know, not berating me, but questioning everything I did. Well, how
because
do you know that
you're not a CPA?
Yes. And that was always his question. Well, you're not a CPA. And then I tell him, well, why'd you hire me? Well, no, because I want you to do the work. Okay. Well, then, you know, this is the way it's going to be. And, you know, just gentlemen could sell, just he did not understand how business was ran. And so didn't understand how, you know, making certain moves are taxable transactions, and he made some moves that caused a lot of had him make owe a lot of tax,
a lot of gains,
and in his mind it wasn't like that, because that's what he's been told. And when I told him, no, this is how it is, and I tried to explain it to him, it was pushback, and I get it, you know, you've got your buddies telling you no, you don't have to pay taxes on that, or you've got his previous tax preparer, who was unlicensed, telling him, "Hey, you know, you don't have to pay tax on that." When in reality, it's like, "Well, no, you do, and it's a significant amount of tax, and this is why."
That used to bug me when I did my tax practice. I hated when a client would say, "Bill, you know, I was in a bar with my friend, all right, and his accountant says this, and why are you not telling me that?" Mm-hmm. And I would just say, well, first of all, maybe that person doesn't know what they're saying. And, you know, as I got into the practice more and more, okay, been in practice a long time, I would say, look, Bob, if you really think that person is correct, I have no problem. I would not be hurt if you decide to use them instead of me. But I can tell you, they are absolutely wrong. Now, of course, I could say that because I've been in practice for like 30 years or something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a matter of I never thought about the CPA though, but it's a matter of the confidence. And yeah. You know, you could be certified in a year or less. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
If you stay with it, okay. You can't just say I'm going to do one part and then take a hiatus and go. All right. Hey, this is important to you. I can tell. All right. So therefore, you must continue. Don't quit. And I'll say it again. You have the right course this time. Because we use the blueprints. Follow the blueprints. That's the blueprints.
I'm excited, you know, because like I said, I used that other one for so long and it just wasn't working and it wasn't working. I just told myself, no, I'm going to make it work. But I'm like, you know, it's what's the saying? It's madness to do something that doesn't work. Or there's a saying, something like that. You know, you keep doing the same thing that doesn't work. That's madness. So it's just, okay, let me change it. Let me change it up. And so that's why I decided to reach out to you guys and get, you know, give you all a shot.
And
so,
by the way, if you have questions, you know, you can call me.
Yes. Yes, I know.
All right.
Yes.
I mean, I'm willing to help you because I want you to be certified so that you can hold your head up high and say, I'm a CPA. All right. And then I will say, no, it's important. And you know what? I'll tell you, the day I got the results that I passed, oh God, I was like, I was ready. I had a slice of heaven. That's the way what it was. But it's a great feeling, and you will get that. I am sure of it. And by the way, you're a good public speaker.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Sure. You know, that's something that everyone has told me, and JJ sent me. I don't have it here. I just moved from, I had an office space, and since I'm remote now, pretty much 100%, I moved back home. And so I still haven't put all my stuff up, but he sent me a letter with his letterhead, you know, Joshua and Jensen CPAs, and just said, you can do it, buddy, CPA by April of 2020. And I was like, okay. So I got that hanging up. I had that hanging up next to me. I got to put it up right here with the wall and just know that, hey, I got a lot of people rooting for me. And I'll tell you this, Phil, when I do pass it, and I will, I'm throwing, and my wife already said that we're throwing a really big party. So
I didn't hear I was invited. Am I
invited? No. Oh yeah. 100%.
Tell me about this party. You didn't say, Phil, you being invited or anything. Right. What kind of food are we going to have? I just want to plan ahead so I don't eat a lot that day.
We're having Texas barbecue.
Ooh.
And I'm going to make it.
What's Texas barbecue? Is that ribs?
Smoked brisket, smoked ribs, smoked sausage, smoked chicken. I mean, smoked everything.
Is that legal in Texas?
I'm coming over.
Come on.
Is that legal in Texas to smoke meat?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a joke. All right, now. Anyway, by the way, they better not take that out of this podcast, okay? All right. People, you know, people say, gee, I like to listen to this. And I have this young lady who's, you know, I spoke to, and she's studying for the exam. She's studying for financial. And then I said, well, what do you do in a week? You know, what do you do for fun? She says, I listen to your podcast. So I said, that's fun? She says, yes, it's so, you know, you're funny. And, you know, I just enjoy it. It makes me laugh. So I said, great, you know. So if Rob takes this out, I will personally hunt him down. But let me ask you, how do you market yourself? I mean, how do you try to get, what's your way of getting clients?
Social media, 100%.
Oh, which one?
Everything. Everything. LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, not on Snapchat yet. I do TikTok, which is like those little kids.
Is that owned by Rolex?
No.
Okay.
That should be. No, but it's a lot of kids that use it. But from what I've seen, it's also kind of older, I guess, people my age.
It can be catchy because it's music based.
Yes. And that's what it is. It's just, you're just doing like a quick 15 second video to music or something and dancing, or you can talk. And I'm on everything I can be. I'm on every single platform I can be, you know, YouTube. I'm on YouTube as well.
But I'll tell you, we hear the best way is LinkedIn. All right. There's one person we spoke to, and I'll leave her name out of it. Is that okay, Rob?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. She has a practice, and she uses LinkedIn exclusively. And I'm finding that that's really, to me, the best social media. You're dealing with professional people.
I think I know who you're talking about, because I have a very close friendship with somebody. She has her own practice that uses LinkedIn. And so LinkedIn has been powerful for me. You know what else has been? Instagram. Instagram has been very good for me, because I the content I put out there, and then I just in the direct messages, I'll start messaging people, and with the voice feature, send them a video that just, hey, introducing myself, and if you have any questions, let me know. And then it may not hit anything at first, but the more content I'm putting out there, the more things I put out there, then the questions start coming, and then the conversations start coming. And, well, what do you do exactly? How can you help me? And then, you know, go from there.
And do you network at all? Is that still being done, networking?
Yes, yes I do. And then that's something that
belong to organizations. What do you do?
So, right now, the only organization I belong to is the National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals.
They're good for sending tax clients.
Yeah, I met the president now and one of the board members. I met them through at a tax event with the Latino tax professionals. They were having a seminar, CPE classes, and I was hanging out with Zero, helping them just kind of on their sales table, you know, trying to get people in to use the software, and ran into them and started going to some of their events. And yeah, they're great. I've already gotten a couple clients from there just by, you know, meeting, interacting with people, letting them know what I do. And, you know, cause my focus is, yes, you know, taxes, bookkeeping and everything, but it's more on the technology side. It's on the automation side. And how can we use technology to help you work easier, more efficient, in less time, so that you can either go spend more time with family or spend more time selling.
Yeah. And do you ask them for the business at some point?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So we have the conversation start and we start talking, and then I just, you know, the friendship start, or at least maybe not the friendship, but you know, the relationship starts to develop. And then I just come out and just say, hey, so, you know, we've been having this dancing back and forth, or, you know, we've been talking, are we actually going to go dance or what? And you know, sometimes they'll say, no, I'm happy with who I am. And I'm like, okay, I've had already two people who were happy with who they were, then call me up. Something happened. They didn't answer. And you know what? They didn't answer their phone. That's what it was. Their previous CPA accountant preparer didn't answer their phone.
How much of the phone do you use when you're trying to get a client? Do you use the phone, or do you meet them? How do you do this?
So for me, I do a Zoom meeting. I like to do a Zoom meeting and I record
mentioned it. That. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I do a meeting, even if it's locally. I like to do a Zoom meeting just because I like to keep track of everything, and I let them know, hey, it's being recorded. We have the record. After it, I send it to them, and then I send them the proposal. If they're happy with it, and then what I do is I take a copy of the recording and I put it up on that project manager website so they can see it. That way there is never any kind of miscommunications between them or me, like, hey, I promised you this, you know, or you promised me that, or anything. You know, it's we can always go back, and there's always a trail of what was said, what was done. That way, in case, hey, you promised me this, well, no, you know, we discussed, we didn't, and then they can go back and listen to the conversation and see, okay, you know what, you're right, you know, you did say no.
If I was a potential client and I said to you, after you gave me your whole spiel, let me go back and think about it, what would you do with that?
At that point, usually what I like to do there, it's two things. I like to look at, you know, your body language. If you're just kind of brushing me off, like, I'm not going to say I'm good at it, but I can kind of somewhat tell sometimes when you just, you know, there are people that just brush it off. Like,
yeah,
I don't think about it. I'm like, okay, you know, here's my card. You know where to find me. But then if somebody that actually is like, hey, let me think about it. But like, you know, I'll just tell them, be like, hey, if this is something you really want to do, let's schedule this call. Cause if not, my calendar is going to get booked up. And then at that point, it's going to be impossible for me to do it. I was like, I have some time now. Let's schedule this call and get this out of the way. And if they tell me no, I'm like, okay, you know, then here's my, you know, you have my number, reach out to me. But just to let you know, it's going to be a little bit harder because you know, my calendar tends to book up with client calls and everything. And so that's usually what I say. And I try to kind of get them right then and there, you know. And there have been, don't get me wrong, I don't do everything. You know, I do have local clients that I do go out there and meet with them. I have one that I meet on the south side of Houston once a month. I go down there and I meet with them, and they're, you know, one of my very first clients, and so, you know, I love working with all my clients, but they were my first ones, you know, and so I like working with them, and I've actually seen them grow and grow and grow, and so it's been kind of nice to, you know, be part of that journey with them.
I knew this accountant, CPA. He was a little more brass, more pushy than I might have been, because he used to say to me, if a client says to you, potential client, if he says to you or she says to you, I really would like to think about it. This person used to say, well, what do you need to think about? You know, so, you know, and then the person, you know, they probably tell you. But then this was, he would close the sale very quickly, because what he would do is he would say, now, look, you told me you need an accountant to do this. I've shown you I can do this. You've shown you do that. And you sort of get them. I feel like I'm an insurance salesman telling you this, but, you know, nothing against insurance salesmen. But, you know, he was a little more aggressive. Now, I'm more comfortable with what you probably would do, because, yeah, you have to look at the body language. And, hey, if they don't like you, okay, you don't want to deal with them anyway, right? No.
And, you know, I've gotten to the point now where, excuse me, I can be selective with who I want to work with. So if it's a client that requires me to be at their premise or at their site, I just tell them, look, guys, I'm not capable to take care of that for you. I don't have the capacity to go and actually sit in your office. You know, now if we want to find a way to maybe move you from working desk, you know, QuickBooks 95 or something, you know, the old programs, and we want to see if we can transition you to the cloud and maybe, you know, start implementing some of the stuff, then of course I'd love to work with you guys. But if y'all just want me to come in and input checks into QuickBooks, I can't do that. I'm not the right person for you. And I usually, you know, I have a list of people that I can refer them over to that'll gladly do that.
Isn't that where bots would come in?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
Bots are just, I'll tell you this, in my practice, we don't do a single piece of data entry. There is no input and checks. You know, if it's not a bank feed coming in, we import it from the bank, or we take the bank statements from the client, and we use a application called Auto Entry where we upload the bank statements. It spits out a CSV with all the transactions. I put it into zero is my choice. I put it into there, and then I can do a set of books. I can do a year set of books with two bank accounts and two credit cards in about 45 minutes to an hour.
Pretty good.
I can knock them out and just like that. So whenever I do my Schedule C clients that refuse to do any kind of have no books, I can knock them out pretty quickly.
Well, Jose, I really appreciate the information. And by the way, Jose is a tax advisor. He's an automation and workflow guru. Mm-hmm. All right. That's the what, remote stuff?
Yeah, that's that. And just kind of working with clients and colleagues on how to just, you know, work more efficiently.
And you say you're an innovator. What have you done to innovate?
So for me personally, I think kind of what I'm doing is still new. I know there are more and more people doing it now, but I feel like, you know, this whole conversation, you know, being working remotely, but having closer relationships with clients, because I feel like I talk to my clients now more than I did whenever we were at, when I was at my old CPA firms, so it was just kind of a little bit more old school mentality, old school way of working. You know, I talk with them a lot more now, and I see their face a lot more, you know, in that conversation.
Yeah. You know, I still believe in personal service, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have emails. We have, you know, I mean, yes, this is good. You can see me. I can see you. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's to me face to face. But, you know, I think talking to clients is so important to show them that you're just not a number cruncher. Mm-hmm. And you're not just someone who collects a check from them, but you're someone who sort of cares about them. You have to show that. You really do.
Yeah. You know, for me, my big thing is I'm necessarily disrupt this industry, but I want to kind of, you know, it's a lot of competition. I've seen a lot of, you know, negativity and people bringing each other down. And I want to turn that around, and let's start building each other up, because, you know, we help each other, because I've seen it personally with me. I work closely with Justin McAuliffe over at CPA Enterprises.
Oh, Justin.
You know, we pass work back and forth with each other. I've got a couple other strategic partnerships here locally that, You know, they do the books, they do financial reporting, but they need somebody to do the tax returns. I can take care of that for
them.
What's
wrong with that? Yeah.
And why, instead of trying to compete with each other and trying to fight with each other, why not just, you know, help each other grow? And so that's kind of what I'm trying to do. That's my mission is that. Well,
good, because you're doing what you're best at. And, you know, maybe you don't like bookkeeping. You don't like to do that type of stuff where someone else enjoys it and you enjoy doing tax returns.
Yeah, and then I mean, if something that's a little bit out of my scope, or I just don't feel like I can handle it, I'll refer it out. You know, instead of trying to take it on and then you know, looking bad in front of the clientele or looking bad in front of the, you know, the referral partner, I'm just like, hey, this is a little bit out of my wheelhouse. I can possibly research it, but let me get you with somebody that's an expert in this particular service, and I'll send it out because they're happy. Everybody's happy at that point.
And that will avoid future liability, professional liability. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, for those who are listening to this, if you reach out to Jose and you help him with the CPA exam, you will be invited to that party.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. He could have like 3,000 people at this party. You have enough room?
We could probably make room for about, I have a client who has a pretty big venue that we can figure something out.
Okay. Just don't invite Rob, who's on the call. All right.
Excuse you. I'm bringing the party.
Jose, thank you very much for being on this podcast today. And if someone would like to get a hold of Jose, all right, because maybe I'm sure he's willing to help you. If mm-hmm. you have any questions on how you start a practice, what it's, you know, he's told us what it's like not to have the CPA, and he will have the CPA. But I'm sure Jose would be happy to talk to anybody. Even speaking to me, and I'm anybody, all right? How would they get in touch with you, Jose?
Oh, of course, yeah. On all my social media, ZTX Advisors, that's probably the best way to get a hold of me.
Z as in zebra, T uh-huh. as in tax, X as in xylophone.
Mm-hmm.
Advisors.
Advisors, yeah. And that's going to be
Instagram. LLC.
Yeah, well, no, just that, but the handle's going to be at ZTX Advisors.
Oh, okay.
So so that's Instagram, that's Twitter, that's Facebook, and then just look for me on LinkedIn, Jose Zavala. You'll see my my nice little face on there. And then email jzavala, Z-A-V-A-L-A, at ztxadvisors.com. I mean, whatever questions you guys have. And I love to meet people. If you just want to say hi and just say, hey, I heard you on the podcast, and hey, I'm all for it.
And if you're an accountant who has a client and you don't feel comfortable doing some of the information, all right, give Jose a call. Maybe he can help you with that. You know, he was talking about that, how he works with other accountants.
Mm-hmm.
And this way, the person who takes on the client will make money and Jose will make money and you'll establish a friendship for life. And invited to the barbecue.
And that client is going to be happy, which is
that's the most important.
That's what matters. That's what matters is taking care of the client, you know, and instead of having them just be a number, they're actually a person.
Exactly. Jose, take care. Good luck all with right. your practice.
Thank you.
And once again, good luck with the CPA exam. I don't think you'll need luck, but, you know, mm-hmm. you will be a CPA soon. All right.
Thank you.
Listen positively. And I'm sure when I talk to you, you'll be a different person. You know? Yeah.
Yes. Well, we'll talk. We'll talk. If we don't talk beforehand, we'll talk at the party.
No. Please call me. Call me anytime. All right.
Alrighty. I appreciate
All right.
it. Thank you.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. And we hope you enjoy our podcast because we want to give you information. And also we try to entertain you to some degree. I'm not a professional comedian, but if this gig goes well, I may get on the road. Rob, you want to take it away? This is your best thing that you do, all right? And by the way, thank Jose.
Absolutely.
Okay? Thank Jose.
Once again, I'd like to thank you for being the best part of CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to hear on the show, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show to share your story, we want to hear from you. Send me an email to the studio at podcast@YeagerCPAReview.com. If you're enjoying the content that we're providing, we'd greatly appreciate it if you'd submit a review to the Apple iTunes podcast app to let us know how we're doing. If you're in the market for a CPA review course or simply want to find out more about the CPA exam and what Jaeger has to offer, check out JaegerCPAReview.com or call our office and we'll answer any questions you may have. The link and the phone number will be in the description of this podcast. Here at Team Jaeger, we're excited to tell you about our new Jaeger CPA Review subscription format. It's the same great Jaeger CPA Review course that you know and love on an all-new month-to-month, no-commitment subscription format. Check it out today. Once again, my name's Rob Medford. I'm your executive producer and director here at the Jaeger Studios. And until next time, take care and be audit you can be.